I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. There's a lot of manna around these days. $8 million worth in Tulsa, Oklahoma alone. Not to speak of Corona, Indiana, or Fort Wayne. There is, I suppose, always a hankering after manna. We need it, you see, to live. It's what the children in Israel in the wilderness said. Had we not died by God's hand by the flesh pots in Egypt where we could eat bread to our full, but you've brought us out here to die. And God gave them manna. And as Jesus said, they died. There's always this hankering after things to see. Towers of great ministry on the Oklahoma countryside. Heritage USA, where Christians can gather for a good relaxation. Programs. Statistics. Living, visible believers. There's one. A lot of manna around today. And they all die. We need not be reminded how fragile this all is. It fills our daily papers these days. These paragons of powerful ministry characterized by incredible growth, what we want, except with good theology. How fragile it all is. How given to disillusion and disappointment. And with that, slander and innuendo. Oh, that's sin. They all die. 2 days ago, in a very fine sermon here, Professor Mueller spoke of the miracle of Carmel becoming the mirage at Jezreel. He who had just called down God's power suddenly is off the stage. Why are you here, Elijah? The true demonstration of God's power that will cast out all doubt, God reserves for the final appearance of His Son. Then there will be the gnashing of teeth and the rejoicing. No in-betweens. No doubt. Then, what about now, where you are and where I am? Where now is God's power and demonstration? Precisely there, where doubt may be the greatest, where life clothes itself in death, where innocence is covered by guilt. Faithfulness is brought to ruin. Power is in weakness. Kingly garments become the tattered rags of the executed. Where the heavenly Jerusalem has become the hill of Golgotha. Where songs of angels become the cries of derision. That's not God. Oh no, that isn't. If he's the Son of God, let him come down from the cross. Worldly manna has a way of bringing Christ down from the cross so that we can, in our deceit, say, there's God. Where is God? The greatness, the necessity, the sheer requirement of Lent is to answer that question. God is there where we are nothing, and where the world is nothing, and where he simply creates ex nihilo from death, there he is. He creates from weakness and death. And he requires of us nothing more than we believe it. And then we shall have the bread from heaven. It may not taste of the sweet spice. I suspect it is made of the sourdough of suffering. There's a lot of manna in the world today, but one loaf of the bread of heaven. That loaf, broken and given for the life of the world. And only those who eat of that flesh given, that is to say, who in faith assume this suffering one as their Lord, have eternal life in them. There may not be any towers in the city of Jerusalem, the heavenly city. No water parks. It tends rather to be described in terms of desert and wilderness. Golgotha and a crown of thorns in the Bible. Where are you, I repeat, O Elijah? Under the shade, outside the battle, however grandiose the tree, or in the warfare of God's struggle with sin, where the battle is long, the smell of sweat stenches the air, and all that God promises is that you will die in his name. He will raise you up. Beyond that time, outside that space, where there will be any glass temples, but simply God Himself, who fills all in all. There is much manna about these days. Let us take to heart the message of Lent and cast our eyes on the suffering bread from heaven and pray that God so bless us that we just believe it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.